at Darling Harbour. Rather than me talk to you about this enormously talented individual from around the world, let's just flashback now and listen to Alan Jones interview Tony not but 6 months ago here in Australia when he was introducing him to the Australian audience. Thank you.
As we all know, there are thousands of motivational speakers, some good, some who leave a lot to be desired. Mr. Tony Robbins is, I'm told, and I believe what I've been told, the most successful of the lot, the best in the world. He's only 33. He certainly is the highest paid motivational speaker in the world. He's chairman of a $1 million a year corporation. He's worked with just about all the top names in business, entertainment and sport, from Michael Jackson to Mikhail Gorbachev to the Los Angeles Dodgers, Chicago Cubs, even the America's Cup races. He's been a performance consultant for IBM, AT&T, American Express, just about everyone you can think of. His TV program, Personal Power, is the most successful program of its kind, seen in over 200 cities every week. His book, Unlimited Books, Unlimited Power, two of them, and The Giant Within, have both been bestsellers. And in whatever spare time he has at 33 years of age, he also runs the Anthony Robbins Foundation as a philanthropic organization dedicated to assisting people who couldn't otherwise be reached. Surely it is one of the most phenomenal success stories you can think of. Anthony Robbins is in Australia to give a series of seminars and lectures, and if what he says is true, it'll be worthwhile the whole nation attending. Anthony Robbins claims to cause permanent changes in an instant, changes that will enable us to achieve our goals and dreams and to be happier and more successful people. And stop mucking around, that's what everybody wants. Young man is on the line. Mr. Anthony Robbins, good morning. Welcome to Australia. Lovely to have you on the program.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. It's a pleasure to be with you. I understand that you're a heck of a coach yourself and motivational speaker.
No. Not in the league. Down the bottom of the table somewhere. What makes you different, though, do you think?
I think it's technology, really. I've spent the last 10 years of my life looking for answers, and instead of just looking to pump people up, I'd be all pumped up and excited. And the metaphor I use, you're excited running east for a sunset, and you're going to have a problem. You have to have the right strategy. So I see today that technology is creating so much fear in people. It's creating rapid change, and it's displacing workers. Obviously, here at 11% employment, you're seeing that. And what we need is a human technology, something that can show us how to change quickly and how to create a change that's really lasting, because everybody wants to change or improve something. I don't care if it's a businessman who's looking for the edge, or if it's a housewife who's now trying to make sure that she not only takes care of her kids, but she really feels like she has a life. People need ways to change, and what set my work apart, I think, is I went out and said, okay, we want to master basically five things in our lives. We want to take control of our physical bodies, our emotions, our relationships, our finances, our time, and our businesses, in essence. And what I did is I said, okay, who's the best in the world at this? So when I want to show someone how to take control of their body, I went out and modeled, for example, a man who holds the world's record for running 1,000 miles in 11 days. Most people don't want to run 1,000 miles. Try to imagine, Alan, running 21 hours straight for 11 straight days, sleeping only 3 hours a night, and being stronger in the beginning than you were at the end. This man shows people how to have more energy than you've ever had before. Without energy, you have nothing. I go and learn about finances and say, why is somebody here doing well in a recession while the guy next to him is doing poorly? I go interview John Templeton, the number one money manager on earth the last 40 years, and find out what he's doing. I find people have been in a relationship 25 years and they're passionate for one another, not just hanging out. Find out what do they do. And what I try to do is then take this information, make it simple, make it incredibly entertaining and fun, and so that people truly do use it. And that's helped to set us apart.
Yes. Do you feel, though, that if people don't understand the change, they're frightened by it? So part of the business of embracing change is enable people to understand how they fit into it.
Absolutely right. I think, you know, in society right now, in Australian culture and also in the American culture I come from, we have a lot of mirrored images. We're in a place right now where we're going through what's called a paradigm shift, where all the rules are changing and people have this uncertainty. I was working yesterday with the Sydney Swans, and it's really interesting to see that so often people go into what I call learned helplessness, where they become conditioned by the challenges in their society or conditioned by a series of failures, till pretty soon they literally learn to expect less for themselves. These guys are phenomenal players. They're really committed. But when you've lost that many games in a row, you lose your edge. So what I was really trying to do is show these people how to reestablish the emotion of certainty, because most people are hoping they're going to get certain because they make enough money or because somebody loves them more or because something changes the environment. But you'll never get that certainty outside yourself. You have to be able to produce that certainty inside yourself. I had a chance to be with Michael Eisner, who's the chairman of the board of Disney, and I got a chance to spend about 3 or 4 hours flying with him in his jet to New York City, and we were talking about this whole idea idea of vision, really clear about what you want, because most people do not have what I call a compelling future. Something gets them up early, keeps them up late, something gives them passion. And he was saying an interesting story is that when Walt Disney, when they finally came out and they opened Disney World and Epcot was opened, a reporter came to Roy Disney and said, gosh, you know, this must be a bittersweet day for you. He said, because if you really think about it, he said, you know, Walt never got to see this. And Roy Disney looked at him and he said, you're very confused, sir. He said, Walt Disney saw this. That's why you're seeing it.
That's right.
And
that's
the bottom line is, Walt Disney had a vision with certainty. There was no, everybody told him he was crazy, but he's able to do it. And I don't care if it's him or I got to spend a few days ago, I was with Nelson Mandela for his 75th birthday. I mean, can you imagine 27 years in jail, and every day they give you a chance to come out just by recanting what you believe in and not giving up and being as old as he is, in his 70s, and now he's a world leader. Regardless of whether you agree with his politics, that is a man of unbelievable certainty and intensity. Everybody needs that certainty, and few people know how to get it. And what I do in my seminars is show people how to produce it today, not someday.
Yes, it's what you said before, in the word passion. And very few people have that sort of passion, or I'm embarrassed by expressing it or making it. I should just tell my listeners, because I'd like you to comment on this, Anthony, if you would. This is a man who of himself says he was, quote, an extremely unhappy person. This is Anthony Robbins, 30 pounds overweight, with floundering relationships and limited prospects, transformed that to a centered, healthy, respected individual with great relationships and the opportunity for success. How do you do that? How do you reverse, how do people reverse years of negative thinking, and how the hell do we get people to start thinking positively as individuals and collectively as a nation?
Well, I think the very first thing you got to have is you've got to get to a point where change is a must and not a should. Again, I was talking this to the players yesterday. I asked them, you know, is this an absolute must for you to give your all every day? And a lot of them, after we really became close friends and talking about things, were honest. They said, no, it's not. It's a should for me. And most people say, I should lose weight. I should do something about my business. I should go back to school. I should spend more time with kids. But they don't actually do anything. They're just all over themselves, is what I say. Bottom line is, you got to make it an absolute must. And I'll tell you when it becomes a must, Alan, is when you get to the point where you got so much pain in your brain, you say that I can't settle for this. Which for me is, I got to the point where I was 38 pounds heavier than I am now. I was embarrassed because I was in a position where I couldn't even pay my bills, where I was embarrassed because I was so frustrated with my life. I felt like I was alone when I was in a room of people. I hit, you know, what I call emotional threshold. And my brain said, listen, I know that who I am mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually is a hell of a lot more than what I'm demonstrating. And I went on what I call, I teach people that the way to change your life is to change what I call your physiology. In other words, I could talk to Alan more like this and say,
yes,
you know, Alan,
yes, that's right.
In August,
and that's it. And that'd be switching the set off and going somewhere else. Absolutely.
You got it. So what you have to do, I mean, it's your success. I hear it in your voice before you turn me on. You have this passion. But that passion allows you to channel different ideas. It's like everybody's had a chance or have had a time when they're on a major role and just flow. And we've all had times when we can't do anything right. The difference is not our ability. The difference is the state that our mind and body is in at any moment in time. If you are in a lousy state, I don't care how brilliant you are, you're going to perform lousy. So the secret is the ability to put yourself in that peak state consistently. And what I did back then is I looked for a technology to condition myself, because I'd lost weight before. You know, I'd been happy before, but it never lasted. So I looked for this technology on how to understand how our brain works and how to condition it, because see, advertisers know how to condition us. They know how to go on Mars a day, you know, and they do that whole thing. If you've got it memorized, right? It makes you work, rest, and play. Well, we have to condition ourselves so that when we think about doing the things we want to do, we do them automatically. If you have to use willpower, it will never last. You'll always be on a diet. You'll always be trying to turn your business around. You'll always be trying to make yourself more confident, and it'll never last. Yeah. But conditioning gives us a
reflex action. A reflex action rather than a structured presentation. Anthony, lovely to talk to you. Welcome to Australia.
Could and you look forward. Across from me, Alan?
I will indeed.
I'm coming here only in August, my only chance, and I'd love to visit with as many Australians as possible.
Yep.
And if they'll contact.
We'll talk about that right now.
Okay.
Well, right now.
I appreciate it.
I've got some numbers here, and we'll catch up with you when you're here.
Thank you, Alan.
Righto, Anthony. It's Anthony Robbins. Anthony Robbins. Worth listening to.
The dates for Tony's one-day program, which is called Strategic Influence, The Power of Personal Marketing, is Sydney, July 7, and in Brisbane on July 12. Both of these seminars will be sold out, so our recommendation to you is to book as early as possible. His 3.5-day program, Unleash the Power Within Weekend, which will run from July 15 to 18, is here in Sydney at Darling Harbour. Again, we anticipate this program to be totally sold out this year. Please make your bookings by phoning Sydney 281 8177 as early as possible. That's Sydney 281 8177. Or if you're ringing from outside Sydney, please use our 008 number. That's 008 244 388. 008 244 388.
Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome to another edition of Power Talk, number 14. We're now in our second year. And for those of you just joining us, welcome aboard. For those of you who've been with me for a month or even a year, I think you're going to especially enjoy this Power Talk. And the reason is I'm incredibly passionate about the subject. You say, well, what is new? You're passionate about everything. Well, that's true to a certain extent. But this subject that we're going to talk about today, I believe, is the core strategy and discipline that has literally shaped my personal destiny. It is the core of who I am as a person, and it has created virtually every aspect of success that I have the privilege to enjoy in my life. Whether it be the quality of my relationship with my wife or my kids or my friends or associates, whether it be my economic success, my physical vitality and energy, it all is born to start with this one foundational discipline. One that I can honestly say I live daily, and one that has given me a sense of joy and peace and a sense of contribution that is far beyond anything I could have imagined 10 years ago. So what is this discipline? Well, before I tell you that, let me first tell you this, that if you and I are going to have the privilege of really enjoying true success, we must be able to define it. Most people have no idea how to define what real success means to them. Sure, they have all of society's rules for what success means, cars and homes and money and prestige or degrees or a certain level of recognizability, but you know, that rarely creates that sense of peace, that sense of connection, that sense that our life really is at the level of quality we really want it to be. How can we define success in a way that will cause us throughout our life to not only pursue it, but to live it? I personally believe that success comes through a consistent increase in the quality of your life. Now let's think about that for a minute. Let's start with the word consistent. What does every champion have in common? Any great success, whether it be in sports, business, politics, relationships, is not consistency really the foundation? I mean, after all, anybody can get any result once in a while. I can get up in front of Nolan Ryan and probably if I swing that bat long enough, I'm going to hit one of those balls. But see, it's not that you're able to apply yourself once in a while. It's that absolute consistency that creates the fabric of success for a lifetime. And isn't that what you really want? You want lasting success. And that only comes from consistency. I remember Pat Riley one time speaking about the idea of the difference between having an excellent game or having game excellence. Well, what's the difference? Well, there's a very big difference. An excellent game is you go out and do something well for a very short period of time. Now, excellence means to excel, so you've excelled for a short period of time. But game excellence means that you consistently excel, you consistently expand. And that's the second part of the definition of success, that it's a constant increase in the quality of your life, in virtually every area of your life, from your spiritual life, your emotional life, your physical life, your mental life, your relationships, every aspect, your business. It's only then that we feel like we're really living life at the deepest level. So let me ask you a question. Are you truly successful right now in your life? Are you consistently increasing the quality of your life? Are you doing it in at least the five areas that I talk about? Are you constantly increasing the quality of your emotional life? Are you developing more passion and compassion, courage? Are you shaping yourself or allowing the environment to shape you? And is this improvement just once in a while, or is it constant? Is it daily? Even if it's on a small scale, we're not talking about huge improvements to feel like we're successful. We're talking about very small incremental improvements, because all those little incremental changes constantly come together. They accumulate to create momentum in your life and the experience of true success. How about in your physical body? Are you consistently increasing the quality of your physical vitality and energy? Or have you bought into a bunch of limiting beliefs that say, well, I'm getting a little bit older, you know, can't quite do things the way I used to? Tell that to Marva Hooks, At age 67, this woman decided she'd become a mountain climber. And at 92, she climbed to the top of Fuji, the oldest living person to make it to that peak. Not too bad, huh? What about the area of your relationships? Are you consistently improving in this area? Because I got news for you. We're either climbing or we're sliding. There's no in-between. There are no plateaus. Are you improving there in your relationship with your spouse, in your relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend, with your relationship with your kids, with the people you're in business with every single day at work? What about in the area of your finances? Are you consistently finding ways to increase the quality of your economic life? And how about your time? Have you learned ways to be able to distort time, to increase the quality of time you do have, instead of just complaining about, oh, there's no time for anything you can really do? If you're not, I know you're not satisfied. And my bet is that no matter how well you're doing in one category, there's an area that probably isn't improving as much as you want. And the reason is we get distracted. There's so much to do in this life, and there's so many challenges. But you know what? The only way we're going to get what we really want is by understanding what's most important to us. And that is a sense of increasing quality in every area of our life. Are you sold on the concept? Okay. Then how do we change things? What if we look to an area of our life and we aren't happy with it? What do we do to change? Well, the answer is we take action. First of all, we got to get aware that there's a challenge. And just focusing on the fact that an area isn't good enough is a good first step. But we got to go beyond our awareness to taking action. That's what I taught people to do in Personal Power. It's what we all already know we need to do inside our heart. So you go out and you take action. Does that really change the quality of your life? The answer is yes, in the short term. And that's critical. You say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to make my relationship better. And for that night or that week, you go out and you knock the socks off your significant other. What do? You go out and you take them to dinner and you write them cards and you do all these wonderful little things. Not really big things, they're just little things, but you do them all at one time. And you know what? That relationship just grows in its quality, in the quality of love and connection and emotional intensity for a week, maybe a month, or as long as the memory holds out. Because the problem is, the action was not consistent. And as a result, that same relationship someday may disappear. Because no matter how thing is, the only way we can enjoy quality in our life, true success, is through consistency. It's through consistent action. So how do we get ourselves to consistently act in a way that causes us to really increase the quality of our life daily and enjoy it? Well, in order to answer that question, I guess we have to first answer the question, what controls all of our actions? The answer to that, of course, is decisions. Whatever decisions we make are shaping all of our actions. Decision is the father of action, and it's our actions that create the results of our lives. But again, what's behind decisions? What determines what we're willing to do or not willing to do in our lives? And the answer to this question is there are two elements that control every decision you make, therefore every action you take, and therefore the increase in quality or lack thereof that you're experiencing in your life every day. And those two elements are your standards and your beliefs. The standard you live your life by, your values in essence, and your core beliefs controlling moment to moment how you perceive everything in your life, what you determine things mean, what you're going to do, and ultimately who you become. In fact, the most common question that people ask me at seminars is, how did you really turn your life around back then 7 or 8 years ago? Well, I look at them and I say, I did it by raising my standards. That was the number one single most important change that I made in my life. I got to the point where I said, I am not willing to live this way anymore. Who I am is much more than I'm demonstrating in my life. And I literally took out my journal and I wrote down all the things in my life that I would no longer stand for myself or anybody I cared about. I also wrote down how I was going to live in detail. And in that day, I committed beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was how I was going to live, that I would never again settle for less than I could be. Now, sometimes people set a high standard for themselves, but they don't take any action. And the reason is because they don't change their beliefs. And that's the second thing we must change to have a long-term increase in the quality of our life. I began to believe that there was a way to turn my life around, that I had the resources. If I didn't have them within myself, I could get access to them. That if I wanted to increase the quality of my life physically, there were people who had fat like me and had got themselves thin and stayed there. And all I have to do is find out what they did and do the same things. As I began to develop beliefs that I could in fact turn things around and that I would in fact, that sense of certainty got me to take consistent action, not just action for a moment to see if it was going to work or not. The increase in my personal standards for myself and the increase in the quality of my beliefs in the quality of my life, they set in motion that day, immediately, a force that began to change everything in my life. But I have a question for you. Do you think that if I would have lived continuously by the standards I set for myself that day, that that would have created the quality of life that I now enjoy? The answer is no, because the quality of life that I now enjoy is a much higher standard than I had ever even dreamed of back then. There's only one way that I've been able to turn my dreams into reality, and that is by a commitment to a discipline promised you when I opened this tape, and now I'm going to finally tell you what it is. You must be ready for it by now. And that is, what has changed my life was not a single action I took 7 or 8 years ago, even setting higher standards then, or even increasing the quality of my beliefs then. Only one thing has created a life that I now enjoy, and that is a commitment to the discipline I call CANI. Capital C-A-N-I with an exclamation mark. What is CANI? It stands for a commitment to constant and never-ending improvement. The core value, that core belief, has permeated every experience of my life. It's who I am. I'm constantly looking for how can I improve. My standards have always got to be expanded, and so do yours if you truly want to be happy. It's the only way we're going to enjoy ourselves. Think about it. Oftentimes I'll ask people, tell me, in these 5 areas of your life, are there some areas you need to improve in? And invariably they'll say, well, my business is doing pretty good, but my relationship's not in very good shape. I guess I need to go work on that. And I turn to them and say, you just made a major mistake. Because now that you put all your focus in your relationship, your business is going to go down. Or maybe your spiritual life is not expanding. The only way our life gets better is not by once in a while jumping in with lots of enthusiasm and giving our all to make something better. It gets better by daily gradual improvements in each of the areas of our lives. And that's what CANI stands for, a commitment to constant and never-ending movement. Nothing in life feels as juicy as knowing you're expanding who you are, expanding your influence, your impact, the quality of how you think and how you feel. And remember, all increases in quality are the results of improvement. And if you're constantly improving, even at the most minute level, who you are and how you live, you'll always be happy. See, we only feel frustrated when we don't feel like we're growing. And growth comes from improvement. So if I really want to find out what the level of success you have in your life is, I could say, what's your level of commitment to CANI? What's the amount of CANI you've developed in your relationship? Is it constant and never-endingly improving, or have you set it aside and said, well, I'm kind of like maintaining it? I got news for you. Just to keep what you have to be improving. Things don't stay static. In life, we're either climbing or we're sliding. We're growing or we're dying. There's no in between. Hey, if you're not investing, for example, I got news for you. You aren't staying equal with where you were last year or the year before. You're losing because inflation is eating away at the base of what you have. If you're just keeping your relationship where it was when you first developed your relationship with this person you care about, I got news for you. That relationship is sliding. It is not climbing. The only way to keep the same quality is to improve, and the only way to increase the quality of life and have true success is through daily, constant, never-ending improvements, a commitment to CANI, a philosophy and a discipline that can shape the quality of your life forever. It is the one single element that if you ask me, Tony, if there's one thing you want me to live by that would ensure my success for a lifetime, I would say commit to the discipline of CANI. Commit to every day finding some small way to constantly and never-endingly improve each and every area of your life. And that'll give you a richness beyond anything you could possibly imagine. Because each day, these tiny little points that seem like nothing will build one upon another until one day you wake up and discover that you're now living what was once merely a dream. That's your life. That's the richness. It comes from only one thing, CANI. Constant and never-ending improvement. And by the way, if you want to know where my passion comes from, my intensity, it comes because every single day I'm excited to wake up and live. Because every single day there's something I'm going to improve upon. And do you know what that does to your self-esteem? When every single day you know and you notice that you're improving in some way, it'd be huge. As I've already said, it's those little gradual ones that make the difference. Little things don't mean a lot, they mean everything. And when you notice them, and when you do them deliberately, you begin to develop a sense of strength within yourself that's virtually unmatched in the people that you'll meet. Think for a moment of somebody you know who's truly happy. Isn't it somebody who's doing something they're passionate about? And doesn't that passion come from the fact that they're creating and expanding something, that they're growing, that in fact they're improving the quality of their life, and even more powerfully, they're improving the quality of people's lives around them? Which, by the way, is one of the most powerful benefits of improving yourself. The more you improve yourself, the more you have to give. And the more that you give, the better you feel about yourself. It becomes a cycle. But instead of the vicious pain cycle that most people live in, it becomes a pleasure cycle. Every day you feel even better about who you are, what you're becoming, and what you're contributing. This standard of constant, never-ending improvement has caused me my entire life to constantly pursue what I now call profound knowledge. It's a term that a man named Dr. Edwards Deming created, and we're going to talk about him briefly. But what I want to tell you is profound knowledge, by definition, is information, strategies, or distinctions that are simple and universally applicable, that the minute you understand them, you can use them to increase the quality of your life. See, if you listen to the tape on questions, you know that information is so simple. And you know what? You can apply it to virtually every area of your life immediately. And when you do it, you instantly increase the quality of your life. Hasn't it been true for you? I know that the answer is yes. Or the profound knowledge of understanding a person's rules. If you listen to that power talk where we talked about every argument you've ever had with another person is a rules argument. And whether you feel success or failure, all comes down to your rules, your beliefs about what has to happen in order for you to feel good about something. Changing your rules changes your life. Knowing that is profound knowledge, because my people are swimming around not knowing why they're so frustrated or angry. They don't know the precise thing that they can change, and so they're disempowered. So my whole life has been pursuing the philosophies and skills and strategies that give us this sense of personal power, the ability to shape and direct our lives and to contribute on a massive scale to all those that are around us. So with this constant pursuit of the strategies and skills and philosophies that can immediately improve the quality of our lives, I'm constantly trying to chunk up. That is, say, what's the best of what I've learned that I can share with somebody in a moment or two? And I'm here to tell you that I can show you how to change your own life long term. I can share with you the three foundational things that must be changed within an individual, an organization, a nation, or a world if there's going to be a change in quality that's going to last, that's going to be long-term and consistent. Those three changes are: number one, we must change our standards. Number two, we must change our beliefs. And number three, we must change our strategies of conducting our life. And of the three, I've already talked to you about two of them: standards and beliefs. In fact, we raise our standards and we change our beliefs, we'll find the strategies to succeed. I didn't know how to turn my life around back then, because the standard that said I had to constantly improve, and I had a belief that said, hey, there's a definite way to do this every day if you model others, and if every day you demand this, you will find a way. Ask and you shall receive. This belief caused me to take action and live by my standards. And when you're constantly looking for ways to improve, believe it's possible, the strategies show up. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And that teacher will either be a model of or be able to offer you the strategies of what specifically to do to turn things around. Look alternative. If you don't commit to Kanai, what's the price you'll pay? If you don't commit to constant, never-ending improvement, there's only one direction you can go, and that's downhill. You're either climbing or you're sliding. You're growing or you're dying. There's no in between. And think about it. How do you feel about yourself if you don't feel like you're growing, if you don't feel like you're improving? You'll never have that deep sense of satisfaction that we all deserve and so experience. What's the impact of living this discipline of Kanai in the business environment? Quite honestly, this is what triggered me the most in this area. For years, my life's purpose has been to be a full, loving, and passionate example of the unlimited possibilities that life brings when we commit ourselves to constantly increasing the quality of our lives and all those around us. That path, that mission, has driven me to constantly search for answers. And as I've come up with those answers, I shared them with other people through books and tapes and seminars and conversations. And now I've begun to develop companies. And over the last 3 or 4 years, my company has grown. So now I have 14 companies in 9 major specific areas of the world that help people to really improve themselves. Whether it be my seminar companies, or whether it be my legal advantage company, or I have a practice manager for doctors, I have a resort in Fiji, I have my television production company. All of them are based upon how can we increase the quality of life for people everywhere by sharing with them key strategies and distinctions. But I noticed something about this, and that is once you put things together and you start moving, they don't seem to stay at the same quality. You got to somehow always be improving them, not only to get ahead, but just to keep them at the same level. But if you keep improving them, they expand like crazy. Robbins Research International has grown by over 50 to 100% in size every year since its inception almost 7 years ago. That's incredible. With that kind of growth, you constantly be improving your systems and your people and what you're doing. And as a result of that, I've made it a major focus to study management principles. And you know what? I felt pretty strong about the body of knowledge and skill I had in this area. Well, my whole world was revolutionized a few months ago when I read an article in Forbes magazine about a car that was being produced by Mitsubishi in combination with a Chrysler Corporation. In reading the article, I discovered that the car you and I know as the Plymouth Laser is exactly the same car as the Mitsubishi Eclipse. In other words, these cars are made by the exact same manufacturer. They are identical in every sense except one thing. They have a different name. And I guess the other one is they're offered by a different company. You want to know what's interesting, though? Chrysler sells an average of 14 of these per dealership are in the ground. Mitsubishi is averaging 100 sales per dealership. Sales are skyrocketing. The same car, released at the same time. What's the difference? Well, when they went out and began to do research, they found out what you might guess. Americans said, well, you know, I really would like the Chrysler company. I'd like to buy American cars, but the Japanese make better quality. Now, when I read this, I got upset. I thought, this belief system is keeping America from rebounding. I started thinking, this is ridiculous. You know, it's true Japanese create quality products, but so do Americans. I mean, how come people generalize that? Look what it's doing to Chrysler. But then I mismatched myself. And I thought for a moment, is there a good reason why most people in America would rather buy a Sony than an RCA? And there is an answer. Most American consumers clearly perceive that Japanese products are superior in quality. And you know what? They have a lot of evidence to back this idea up. They have a lot of experience. And so they don't trust the American companies anymore. They won't even buy them. It's even made by the Japanese under the American name, in Chrysler's example. Pretty amazing. But what has made the Japanese culture so obsessed with quality? Is it just the culture itself? That's what most people would have you believe. The reality is quite different. The actual basis for the Japanese miracle finds its place in an American. What am I talking about? In 1950, Japan was war-ravaged. And MacArthur was over there trying to get things done. He couldn't find anything of quality. He couldn't even make a phone call. Finally, in utter frustration, he decided to work with a Japanese union of scientists to bring over the foremost expert in quality control in the world. His name, Dr. Edwards Deming. Dr. Deming came in 1950 and began to teach the Japanese a standard to conduct all business by. He taught them a new set of beliefs that were often completely contrary to traditional American business. And he taught them a series of strategies on how to constantly analyze and improve virtually anything they manufacture. His philosophy was very simple. The only way the Japanese people could rebuild their economy and compete would be by setting a new standard within their businesses. And that standard was to find how they could constantly and never-endingly improve their quality. He said if they would increase their quality, quality would always cost less in the end. That an obsession with cutting costs and increasing revenues is what destroys most companies. That most American companies focus on meeting a particular standard. And once we've met that standard, we have satisfied customers. He said, you do not want satisfied customers. You want loyal customers. And the only way they're going to be is if they believe that what they're getting from you is the highest quality possible. And if you're constantly improving the quality of what you make or what you do, they'll stay with you. He said, the biggest mistake that American management makes is that they set an arbitrary standard and they believe that the only way to increase that standard is by spending more money, which would reduce their profit. He said, nothing is further from the truth. Your success will be to make gradual, constant, never-ending improvements at an incremental level, that by constantly improving the little things, quality will come together at a level people never dreamed possible. He said, but it must be daily. It must be management. It must be workers. It must be supervisors. It must be all people working together to produce this consistently. Deming continued to come back year after year to teach the captains of Jap business, some of which, by the way, were just getting started, little companies like Sony with Mr. Morita. He promised them that if they absolutely committed a constant, never-ending improvement in the quality of their products and services, shortly they would flood the world with quality products and become a dominant power in industry and eventually a dominant economic power in the world. Well, to war-ravaged Japan, where you couldn't even make a phone call, this seemed absolutely absurd. But the Japanese people, the captains of business, believed him and applied what he said rigorously. A national award was developed back in 1950 in Japan called the Deming Award. For the last 40 years and continuing through today, the Deming Award represents the company that has demonstrated at the highest level the power of constant, never-ending improvement in quality. It's competed for with a level of intensity that's very difficult to even describe unless you've met a Japanese CEO, supervisor, or worker that's part of a company that's in this contest. The award is given on national. Deming is recognized in Japan as the father of the Japanese economic miracle. And yet, we barely hear about him here in the United States. Well, that began to change a little bit back in 1980. By the way, Deming is 90 years old. He was born in October of 1900. He's seen a few changes in our society, as you might imagine. But going back to my point, in 1980, I don't remember if it was 6 or 2020, one of our major television news magazines did a story on the American who's responsible for the Japanese economic miracle, Dr. Deming. In this story, they went and interviewed the Japanese companies who revolutionized industry using Deming's principles. And they began to talk to Japanese officials to find out that, in fact, this man's standards, his philosophy or beliefs, and his strategies daily and precisely by these multinational companies to create world dominance in their area of competition. One of the millions of people who watched the show was a man named Donald Peterson, chairman of Ford Motor Company. He didn't just watch this show, he took action upon it. Instead of saying the Japanese are beating us because they're lucky, he said, I believe the difference is quality. We're losing because they're building a better quality product, and there's no reason why we can't develop better quality products here in the United States. We're going to implement this man's standards, his beliefs, and his strategies throughout Ford Motor Company. From the top down, from the chief executive officer to the assembly line, he brought Deming in, and that is when Ford changed their focus and what you heard in their ads to Ford quality is number one. That wasn't just an idea. It wasn't just an ad. It's something that Ford got the entire company. They instituted trainings and seminars and brainstorming sessions, all getting people to change the level of standards they held for themselves. Rather than waiting for a supervisor to come by and say, well, that's not good quality, each individual began to develop a new belief that the way Ford was going to compete and win in the auto industry was by constant, never-ending improvement at the most minute level so that everyone's contributed a momentum that would turn the company around. By applying this change in standards, beliefs, and strategies, Ford Motor Company, by 1986, had turned themselves around from a company that was losing billions of dollars to over $6 billion in profit, from deep in the red to a corporate model of success across the United States. What were some of the specific standards and beliefs that they changed? Deming taught increasing quality was the only way to compete, and he got them to believe by demonstrating through statistics that quality always costs less. So you may say, well, how does this all relate to me? I'm not a business person. Well, think about it. This company's profitability is tied directly to the amount of quality that they're able to generate for their customers, the amount of quality they're able to generate for mankind. How do you get profitability? What's the equivalent of profit in a human being's life? I would say satisfaction, joy, happiness. That's the profit we have by living by a philosophy of constant improvement. Because when are you really happy? You're not happy because you get things. You're not happy because you're successful, or even because you've achieved your dreams. Because many people have achieved their dreams and now they're unhappy because now they say, is this all there is? The only time that you and I are happy is when we know that we're growing, and we're only going to grow if every day we're trying to improve. And the biggest mistake we make is to try and just change everything overnight. We go out and say, gosh, I'm overweight. Let me go run 10 miles. Boy, have I been guilty of this one in the past. And your guts out, and then the next day, what happens? Do you build from that level? Of course not. What happens when we go out and we just innovate, that's all we do, is we don't build a foundation to continue to expand from. Don't work out like that. The next day, the quality of your life goes down. What you have to do is each day do a little bit more. I have a friend that now runs marathons. And you know what? He started out one day just trying to run from his front to the first telephone pole he could see, which was probably about 30 yards away. And his goal each day was to go a little further. And that was all he did. He practiced kanai, constant and never-ending improvements, very, very gradual. But you know what happened? He started to develop momentum. That's the power of kanai. He constantly was improving, and he got addicted to the feeling. And sure enough, the next thing, he's going further and further. And his self-esteem, his physical vitality grew until now he's a dominant force in any marathon he runs in. I'll tell you the reason why I think most people never really succeed. Number one, they don't set a high enough standard. But number two, some people set a high standard, don't believe they can achieve it. The power of kanai, gradual, constant, never-ending improvement, is that it's believable. Your brain says, I know I can do this. I know I can figure a way to make it a little bit better. But when you tell yourself you got to lose 50 pounds tomorrow, your brain goes, there's no way. I'm not going to pull this off. Even if you try and set the standard for me, I'm going to rebel. And you find yourself unable to get yourself to take the very actions that are necessary for your success. Japanese companies believe that in order to grow, they need innovation, which means explosive growth, and they need what they call kaizen. Kaizen means constant improvement. In fact, the reason I got the discipline of kanai, that is a word, is because the Japanese use kaizen as part of their vocabulary every single day of their life. They talk about the kaizen of their business, the kaizen of their relationship, the kaizen of surplus. The constant improvement of it is what they're looking about. And because they talk about it all the time, it's a part of their unconscious thinking. You might think the word kanai, kanai, that's a corny word. Well, first of all, I didn't want to use a Japanese word, American philosophy. And secondly, I wanted to remind myself with one term what I'm really committed to. Think about this for a second. When you create a word, you create a way of thinking. Language that we use constantly influences our decision-making processes, in that the words that we utilize consistently carry within them encoded meanings for our lives. So in creating the discipline, the philosophy of kanai, we're creating a mindset that will continually shape the thinking and actions of all those people who use it. You might want to take this term and promote it, not only within yourself, but the people around you. It's new. You have to get used to it. Pretty soon you get excited. You start asking people, tell me something. How committed to kanai is the organization? What's the person's level of commitment to kanai? There's only one result that will consistently come from a commitment to kanai, and that is a profound increase in the quality of your life, an experience of true success. When you live by the discipline of kanai, when it's the strategy you live every day by, you will experience constant improvement that creates lifelong joy and power. So by adopting this word into our vocabulary, we make it a constant focus. So instead of a Japanese term, we're using an American term. It's a never-ending improvement, a commitment to kanai. Let me share with you that I believe our level of personal and professional success is in direct proportion to the level of our commitment to kanai. See, a true commitment to kanai is reflected by constant improvement in every area of your life. And a true commitment to kanai has got to be measured. You've got to be noticing along the way how you're improving. Kanai is a science. It raises that problems are an opportunity for growth, and it provides a system for solving problems before they even come up. The best time to solve a problem is before it becomes one. And if you're always improving what you do, you start to handle the problems before they even exist. You handle them at the level where they're not quite a problem yet, but they're not quite right. That's how you create a life where you have momentum and power and joy. So what's valuable about kanai? It's a new standard. It's a new philosophy for you to live by. And most importantly, it's believable and achievable. Who else has used this throughout history? Anyone who succeeded. The gentleman who I interviewed this month for Power Talk is a man who is a true legend. A gentleman who probably represents the greatest level of consistent success in sports history. His name is Coach John Wooden, the past coach of the UCLA Bruins, a man who created a dynasty description. In his last years with the UCLA Bruins, Coach Wooden won 10 of 12 national NCAA championships. This is unheard of. He won 7 of these in a row. To give you perspective on how powerful this is, there have only been 4 teams since 1939 that have been able to win 2 of these in a row. His teams won 88 games in a row. His seasons where they didn't lose a game. 3 seasons where they only lost 1 game in the entire year, including the playoffs and the championship. Was this man lucky? Well, if your definition of luck is labor, correct knowledge, L-U-C-K, then I'd say the answer is you're absolutely right, he was very lucky. No, what made this man successful is he lives by a philosophy of constant, never-ending improvement. In fact, Coach Wooden, the only to be inducted into the College Hall of Fame as both a player and a coach, and a man with the most wins in college basketball history, never talked about winning to his players. I repeat, in 27 years as a coach of the UCLA Bruins, he did not talk about winning. What he talked about constantly was that his players needed to improve themselves every day, that every day they had to make some kind of improvement in what they were doing, and if they did that every day, they would truly be champions, regardless of the score. But he said, I think you'll like the score as well. More importantly than his victories on the ball court is what he did to the quality of life for these men, because he taught them a philosophy of life that many of them, including Kareem, acknowledge to this day. And you know what? He was able to teach these men, and they were willing to listen to him because he lived it personally. He's constantly lived by a series of principles that his father gave him, a creed when he was 12 years old. And he'll talk about it in our interview, but it includes things like make every day your masterpiece, to help others, to be true to yourself. And every day he increases his standards for that, and it'll become very clear when you listen to him on the tape. Every single day when he did a practice, his first question was, how can I improve this? How can I improve each of these individually in some small way? He kept a journal, and he measured the results of every player during every practice they were ever involved with him in his 27 years. He can tell you how every player did every day and what he did to him. That's the level of his commitment. And I'll leave it up to you as you listen to the interview to decide for yourself what his level of fulfillment is and the quality of life he's generated for himself and others. I think you'll find it immeasurable. So what's the message? I've hammered at you again and again throughout this tape. It's very simple. Success in life can only be measured by the level of our fulfillment. We are only going to feel good about ourselves long term if we consistently increase the quality of our life. We can only increase the quality of our life consistently by committing to a discipline, a standard for our life of constant and net improvement. A commitment that permeates every area of our lives. And a commitment that understands that the constant and consistent improvements, no matter how small, eventually produce massive increases in quality. A commitment that allows us to constantly not only maintain what we have, but go beyond it. A commitment that understands that if we don't improve, we won't even keep what we have, whether it be happiness or competition in the marketplace. So the biggest mistake that most people make in their lives is they hate repetition. They say, oh, I already know something. Well, I got news for you. There's a big difference between knowing what to do and doing what you know. A master I know, whether it be a guy like John Wooden or a Pat Riley, a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a Magic Johnson, I don't care who it is, whether it be in politics or business, is a person who's willing to do the quote-unquote boring things every single day and find a way to improve it. When I worked with Grandmaster Jun Ri and I began to develop my taekwondo skills, I developed my black belt in 8 months by constantly improving every time. He taught me the same things over and over again was not just repetition, but if I was going to be a master, I had to find a way at some subtle level to constantly be improving those same exact actions. Remember, repetition, a certain level of power, but repetition with kanai, with a commitment to constant, never-ending improvement, creates life mastery. So where do we go from here? Step number one, decide today, before you turn off this tape, are you going to live by this philosophy in your life or not? Will this philosophy, in fact, do everything I've been harping about? Will it, in fact, produce the quality of life you want? Will it produce the ever-increasing quality of life that you really are committed to? If it is, decide once and for all, this is how you're going to live, and you're going to do whatever it takes to make it your lifestyle. Step two, if you've made that decision, take this word, this love that I'm closed, and put it where you'll see it on a regular basis as a trigger, as a reminder. Adopt the language. Talk to the people around you about your commitment to living kanai, to living a life of constant, never-ending improvement. Step three, what I want you to do is pull out your journal and take 5 minutes and just write down what are some things you're no longer willing to settle for in your life. What are some standards that you yourself to drift down to that are going to change, and what are your new standards? Step four, over the next 30 days, truly live by this philosophy. Look at this card in front of you. Think about what it means to never-endingly improve each area of your life, and simply make a list in your journal of the little things you can do in each of the five primary areas of your life. What could you do each day to improve just a little bit? Emotional mastery. What's a very tiny, gradual enhancement you could make of your physical vitality? Maybe it's taking more of those deep breaths that we talk about. Maybe it's the way you move. Maybe it's the way you sit up. Maybe it's the way you eat. You know, changing your facial expressions will change your emotional patterns. What could you do on a very simple and gradual level to increase the quality of your relationship? Maybe it's just stopping and instead of having a kiss where you just kiss that person for a second, you kiss just a moment longer. That little tiny improvement could make a major improvement in the quality of your relationship. Or maybe it's when you see the bellman, instead of just handing the tip, you just make eye contact an extra moment and say, hey, thanks a lot. Each of these little improvements each day will dramatically increase the quality of your relationships. What could you do financially? A little tiny thing. Most people never get started in a financial plan because it seems too big to them. They don't know where to start. What could you do tomorrow? Could you pick up a book? What could you do to improve your knowledge or your skill? What's one thing you could do to improve your investment slightly? A little improvement each day. Maybe the improvement is actually saving something so that you have something to invest. What could you do to improve the quality of how you enjoy the time of your life? As you make these small little improvements each day, these tiny improvements, you'll start to develop momentum. Get more and more passionate about this philosophy until pretty soon you'll be a kanai warrior. You'll be talking about the kanai of this and the kanai of that. In fact, my children often say, can I do this? And I say, yes, if you commit to kanai. If you commit to constant, never-ending improvement, there's no doubt you can do anything in your life. 30 days of commitment to this principle hook you for a lifetime. And lastly, I should say this. There are three questions that I ask myself at the end of the day. They help me to stay on track with my commitment to kanai. And they are, number one, what did I learn today? If you listen to last month's interview where I interviewed Leo Buscaglia, you heard that one of the things that shaped his life was that his father demanded that each of his children come at the end of the day and one thing they'd learned that day. Well, by doing this, if they hadn't learned anything, they had to pull out the encyclopedia. They had to go learn something. And you know what? By doing this, he was constantly stimulating his mind, exposing himself to new ideas, concepts, strategies, profound knowledge, and it's created the passion that you hear that comes through in his voice. Every day, ask yourself, what have I learned today? And it can be something very little. And if you haven't learned anything, it's time to go do something quick, eat at night. Second, what have I improved? Or what have I contributed? Either one of those, in order to contribute, I think you have to improve. And again, it could be a tiny improvement, your attention span, your touch, your focus, the way you used your physiology, the way you said thank you, the way you looked into someone's eyes. And thirdly, what have I enjoyed? Because if there's anything we want to improve in our lives, it's our ability to enjoy each and every day. We don't want to get hooked in the situation in our lives where we start taking things for granted, or we always need things to be bigger for us to be able to appreciate them. Maybe what we need to do is learn how to enjoy the adventure of a smile. Maybe we need to learn how to enjoy just being with the people we care about. If each day you improve your capacity to enjoy your life, then you'll live a life that other people want to model. Your experience of life will be legendary. Don't we deserve each day to constantly improve the quality of our lives? I think you know the answer. And I hope you demonstrate it. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your continual improvements and remember to live with passion.